Moncrief on News Talk.
For the second of our looks at some of the most important events of the last 20 years, and today it's 9/11. Now, we have reported before on the show as to when the US shut its airspace after the attacks. Hundreds of flights had to be rerouted. Many of them were redirected to an airport called Gander, a small town in Newfoundland. Within the course of a day, its population had swelled from around 10,000 to 17,000. Joe Ryan, a Limerick businessman, was on a Delta flight when it was rerouted to Gander, and he joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Joe.
Yes, good afternoon, Sean. Thank you for inviting me to speak with you today.
And thanks very much for coming on the programme. How long were you into the flight when you were told that something was wrong?
So about 3 hours into the flight from Shannon to Atlanta, so approximately 90 minutes from New York in the air.
And did they tell you specifically?
Well, the captain came on to announce that due to an air traffic control issue, he could not fly into the US and began to fly in a circular pattern. So that went on for about 2 hours. And then he advised us that we would be landing in Gander, that the flight was diverted to Gander, Newfoundland.
And during that period, were you able to glean, or anybody in the plane able to find out any information as to what actually the cause was?
No, absolutely not. The only information that we got from the captain was there was no difficulty with the aircraft. It was an air traffic control issue.
Right. Okay. But at the same time, there must have been a feeling on the plane even then that there might have been more to it than that.
Honestly, no. I think people were just anxious about how long this diversion was going to take, and I had a connecting flight in Atlanta, so clearly I was going to miss that, and other people had connecting flights and so forth, or people waiting for them on arrival in Atlanta. It was strange. The reality of what was going on didn't emerge until about 3 hours later, when we actually landed in Gander Airport.
And when you landed in Gander, obviously it's a tiny wee place. And when you got off the plane, what did you see? Because as I understand, so many planes were diverted there.
Yeah, I think in excess of 30. And we were, I think, number 24 or 25 to land. Getting off the plane wasn't such an easy thing. Between the time that I set foot on the plane at Shannon and set foot on the tarmac at Gander, in excess of 20 hours passed. And the majority of that time was actually on the plane, on the tarmac in Gander Airport. When we landed and came to a complete stop, it was then that the captain announced that what was going on. And I'll always remember his announcement, which went along the lines of, I've been flying for 30 years. I retire next week. And never did I anticipate that I'd have to tell passengers what I now have to tell you. And then he informed us that two planes had flown into the Twin Towers, another had crashed into the Pentagon building, and that a fourth plane at that time was unaccounted for. And the US airspace was closed, and that we would remain on the aircraft until we got further updates. So that was when we first realized this was pretty serious. And there was, for the whole of 60 seconds after that announcement, you could hear a pin drop. There was disbelief. There was shock. There were a number of children on board who were on their way to Disneyland. So they started to cry. And then the air stewardesses were bombarded with questions. How long will we be on the ground? When do we get to the terminal building? Will the aircraft return to Ireland? For which they had no answers. They were very calm, they were very courteous, but they knew as much as we knew from what the captain told us. And so about for every hour, we were getting an update from the captain saying, the airspace was closed. And eventually he said, we'll disembark, but with 30 aircraft on the ground, it's going to take some time. So we were on the, we were probably on this aircraft for 13 or 14 hours before we eventually got to disembark.
And when you got off the plane, what was the security like?
very intense. So we were guided through security, where all hand luggage was x-rayed with great scrutiny. So I can recall a passenger in front of me who had like your regular 200 pack of duty-free cigarettes, and they were breaking them down into individual packs of 20 and x-raying each individual package. What we didn't know at the time, which we learned later, was that there was a suspicion that there were more terrorists on planes landing in Gondar, and they were not taking any chances.
When you got through then, the security, was it difficult? Were there people on hand? Because an awful lot of people there all of a sudden to bring you to a place to stay for the night and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so approximately 6,500 passengers landed. And Gondar has a population of 10,000 people. So it's a huge, huge impact for them. But the Red Cross kicked into action. After security, we were taken to a big room. You know, there were lists of where we were going. We were told we were going to go to a place called Lewisport, which is 1 hour journey north of Gondar. We were provided with a sandwich and a bottle of water. And, you know, we were put on this school bus and then transported to Lewisport. So Lewisport is a very rural area near an inland lake or sea. It probably has about 3,000 of a population, or maybe even less. So we arrived at a big community centre on the edge of Lewisport, and to find, you know, about 200 people, some children lying on the floor on blankets, a temporary kitchen at the end of the community centre. And it was then, for the first time, that we caught sight of a television, which was showing the images of the planes flying into the towers. And, you know, only then did the significance of what occurred really dawn on me and the other passengers. You know the saying, picture paints a thousand words.
Yeah.
Or is better than a thousand words. That absolutely was the case.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there were, you know, about 200 people in this center milling around. And as we were a group that arrived together, there's probably about 20 of us just staring at the television in disbelief.
So, and as it turned out, of course, nobody could answer the questions at the time, but you were there for a week or more, was it?
Yes. So I eventually returned to Ireland on Sunday, departing Gondar on Saturday. We were there in the Lewisport area. Shortly after arriving at the centre, a small group of us who were clearly travelling on their own, we were single people without families. So we were asked to go to another centre to help with keeping families together. That centre turned out to be a mile away, and it was an Anglican church with a congregation for about 100 people. So we arrived at the church, greeted by the Anglican minister, who was really very welcoming and friendly. And we were given blankets, toothbrush, toothpaste, a soap, and said, find a place to, you know, park yourself where you want to sleep for tonight. And I think at one stage, he happened to be looking at me. And I said, well, you know, why break with a lifetime tradition? The back of the church is pretty good for me. So we, you know, that's where I parked myself, and we were there. This little church had a tiny kitchen, an office, and a bathroom. But thankfully, the following day, a nearby school was made available to us. It was open, so we could use the showers. But more importantly, we had access to the computer room. So I was able to communicate by email to my family. I had been able to get through to them on the phone before I left the aircraft in Gondar, to reassure them that I was safe and sound and so forth. You know, they had been trying to get in contact with Delta. My work colleagues were trying to get in contact with Delta to find out what was going on. So you had this huge information void. And the days rolled into nights while we were there at the church. And, you know, it was all about information. You know, when are we going to get an update? Are we going to go back to Ireland? Are we going to go on to the United States? And all the time, you had CNN pictures on the television just replaying and replaying the towers collapsing, the emergency efforts going on, the loss of life. So it was a pretty strange experience to go through.
And the people there, were they, for the most part, were they patient? Did they understand that there was only so much they could be told?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what helped greatly was the attitude and the generosity of spirit of the people in Newfoundland. They're incredibly welcoming. They're incredibly friendly. So it was they portrayed an air of calm and helpfulness, which was really probably unheard of. I know it's been documented well, and you had people turning up to these centres and to the church, offering to take you to their homes, to give you your dinner, to let you use their shower and bathrooms and so forth. They were incredibly generous in spirit, and so it was amazing. I think that's been well documented in various publications and reports, But for me, I think something that hasn't probably got the level of publicity that it deserves was the actions of the Red Cross. They took 6,500 people from an airport, put them on buses, sent them to centres around, Gander area, probably sometimes 2 hours away. And they really ensured that the community in the different locations rallied around the passengers. Provided food, provided bathroom facilities in their own homes. It was incredible.
Yeah, it really was one of those weeks, I suppose, where you saw people at their worst and people at their absolute best as well. As I understand it, when you finally got on a plane for your journey back home, it was to Atlanta, and you did actually pass over New York.
Yes, that was a rather surreal experience. As we were passing over the New York area, the captain brought everybody's attention to the plumes of smoke and dust still coming from the towers. So it was quite emotional for the lot of the Americans that were there. Some of them started to sing their national anthem. For them, they had been attacked. Their country was at war. There was a huge loss of life in one of their biggest cities. No American would have expected that. So it was a really, really significant time in their lives. And it was surreal to see these plumes of smoke 5 days later.
What an extraordinary time in all our histories. Joe Ryan, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.